You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
A very good evening to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are tuned in to a brand new edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As always, I am your host, Hendy, for the evening. I will be with you until 8 p.m. And on this edition of the Eagle Sports Zone, we have a very interesting conversation. On the Eagle Sports Zone, as per usual, this is Eagle FM's in-house sports program coming to you every Sunday from 6 p.m. live from our Ventuk studio. On the Eagle Sports Zone, we like to discuss all things sports. We like to dive deep into the world of sports, deep into all the things that make what we see on the field happen. Whether that's sports governance, sports marketing, all things sports development, sports psychology, sports sociology, all those different topics that intertwine to put or to make what we see on the field possible. As always, you are tuned into your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. If you haven't already, download our mobile application, free to download on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Simply type in Eagle FM Namibia and you will have access to the Eagle FM mobile application that allows you to listen to our fantastic programs from anywhere in the world on the go. Whether you're in China, whether you're in South Africa, whether you're in Brazil, you can stay tuned in to Eagle FM programming. Whether you're on the go, whether you're grocery shopping, you're going for a jog, you're doing laundry, we are with you at all times. You can also tune in to us via our website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. And on the website, as on the application, if you happen to have missed your favorite program live, you can go to the podcast section and find your favorite program. Whether you want to listen to last week's episode, last month's episode, last year, an episode from last year, it's all available for you there in the podcast section of the website or the Eagle FM mobile application. And of course, if you haven't already, you must download the Imba mobile application. This is a revolutionary application that gives you access to your favorite hymns in the palm of your hand. Gone are the days where you have to carry around a heavy hymn book. Whether it's you're looking for hymns in English, in Afrikaans, in Oshiwambo, in Herero, in Damaranama, in Silozi, in German, in Portuguese, all your favorite hymns from your favorite denominations are available for you in the Imba mobile application. Again, free to download on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Simply type in Imba. It will come up there. And on these applications, once you download them, you will see there's a digital display for you to interact with. This digital display gives you access to all sorts of information, whether it's the Constitution, whether it's the Census report, whether it's the latest labor report, whether it's the latest budget. All types of information is available for you there from all sectors of the economy. And of course, if, as I know many of us are, if you are looking for a job as well, we have vacancies displayed for you there. Simply interact with these displays and you'll be directed to whatever piece of information it is that you are looking for. So join hundreds and thousands of not only Namibian users, but users all over the world in downloading the Eagle FM mobile application as well as the Imba mobile application. And of course, tomorrow is Monday, which means one thing, that none other than the Villager e-paper will be published. Once again, this will cost you nothing to access. If you haven't subscribed already, simply send a WhatsApp message to the following number, that is 081-200-4144. Include your email address and make sure to save that number as a contact so that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you will receive the Villager e-paper directly to your mobile device and your email address. And that's for the latest in business, economics, agricultural, sporting, policy-related news. It will be all there at the tip of your fingertips. Once again, if you haven't subscribed, the number is 081-200-4144. Now, today, on the Eagle Sports Zone, we're going to get back into our analytical bag. We're going to get back into our academic bag, I should say, where we're gonna look at a research paper. Those of you that have been listening know I'm a big fan of research papers. And the one we're going to look at this evening is one titled Sports for Development in the South African Context. This is a research paper that was written by Cora Burnett. She is a professor, a research professor at the University of Johannesburg. And we're going to look at her findings. We're going to see what she was talking about and see how can we apply this to the Namibian context. And I'm a big fan of research papers that include Africa in particular, since that is where we hail from. And it is more tangible than some of the other research papers we've looked at, you know, that involve huge first world countries and so on. So it's good to come across research that is relatable. But before we get into that topic of the day, we are going to run through some local sports news. As always, if you'd like to join the conversation at any time, you can call into the studio at 083-288-401. That is 083-288-401 if you'd like to chime in with anything. And on the other side of this, we'll be back with some local sports news.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. We have some exciting local sports news for you. Today, as we start off, we can't start the local sports news without mentioning or without congratulating the champion of the 2024-2025 Deb Marine Namibia Premiership season, which is none other than African Stars, who, after drawing 1-1 with Mighty Gunners this afternoon in Otjiwarongo, have claimed their third successive title. They become the third team to win the title 3 times in a row, following Civics, who did it back in 2004 to 2007, and following Black Africa, the mighty Black Africa, who once upon a time used to dominate our league. So congratulations to them. And despite, rather interestingly, you know, African Stars have had 3 coaches this past season, but have still managed to maintain their fine form. They are now led by Bob Mafoso, who is from Lesotho. So winning a title in his first, can't even say full season, let's say half season in charge. That is following Ronnie Canalelo and Benny Houseb, who was the interim manager there. But let's get through some of the rest of the results of the weekend, of the football weekend, the local football weekend. In rounds 28 and 29 took place this weekend. And starting with round 28, we had the Blue Waters beating Julinho Athletics 1-0. Chula Chula drew 1-1 with Comas Nampol. KK Palace drawing 2-2 with Young Brazilians. Young Brazilians, by the way, have officially been relegated from the league. So they join Cougar Tops and Blue Boys in being relegated. Speaking of Cougar Tops and Blue Boys, they played this weekend. Blue Boys winning that one 1-0. Ongos beat UNAM 2-0. African Stars beat Okahandja United 1-0, and then Bucks, Buccaneers, and Tigers drew 2-2. Mighty Gunners and Young African drawing 2-2 as well. Round 29, which concluded this afternoon, you had Blue Boys drawing with Julinho Athletics 2-2. Blue Waters beating Kuka Tops 5-1. Yunnan beating Tigers 2-0. Ongos beating Bucks Buccaneers 2-0. KK Palace. KK Palace, excuse me, drawing 1-1 with Comas Nampor. And then Chula Chula drawing 2-2 with YB. Mighty Gunners and African Stars, as I mentioned, drawing 1-1. And then still waiting on my sources to give me the Okahandja United Young African score. But as we said, congratulations to African Stars for claiming their title. And actually, since the league has been named the Desmarine Premiership, the only team to win the league has been African Stars. So, at least up until now, the Desmarine Namibia Premiership is synonymous with Star Lille, with them having won the league now 3 times in a row. So, of course, that puts them in the qualification phase for the CAF Champions League. Let's see if this time they can get past the qualification stage and make it into the full tournament, which, if I'm not mistaken, you can call in and correct me on that one, would be the first time a Namibian team would be in the official competition itself. But yes, that is the football news we have for the weekend. And on the other side of this, we'll get into some more local sports news. We will be right back.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. If you are just tuned in, we are running through some local sports news. Now on to swimming. Our young, fantastic swimmers have continued shining on the international stage. We had the Namibian swimmers, Ayona Naukosho, Jose Canjulo, Victoria De Sousa, Jessica Humphrey, and Lorenzo Esterhazen competing in Angola, representing Namibia, of course, at a competition celebrating Angola's 50th independence. This is an international competition that includes South Africa, Portugal, Zambia, Mozambique, and of course the host Angola. And at the time of recording, or at least when the latest update I got from my sources, was that Namibia was in the lead ahead of all these teams following great performances from some of our swimmers. And after day one, Iona finished first in the 50-meter butterfly. She finished first in the 100-meter backstroke and second in the 400-meter individual medley. And then we had Jessica Humphrey, finished first in the 50-meter fly, finished first in the 100 meter backstroke and then finished first in the 100 meter freestyle as well. And Victoria finished first in the 400 meter individual medley and second in the 50 meter backstroke. And Jose finished first in the 50 meter backstroke. Lorenzo ended up finishing second in the 400 meter individual medley and third in the 100 meter backstroke. So once again, our young swimmers putting on a great display, representing the nation well. And it will be, I'm keen to see if we will see any of our top performing young swimmers competing in the big international competitions, whether that's your African Championships, your Junior Olympics, or who knows, even 2028 in the Major Olympics. Of course, a long way to go for that. But our young swimmers are showing some promise. And I'm sure they will receive support from our government to achieve whatever it is that they are looking to achieve. Moving on to some rugby news. We had the Namibia Rugby Union Premiership semi-finals taking place this weekend, where FNB Kudus beat FNB Grootfontein 42-37, and the unbeaten FNB Wanderers beating Transco United 39-14. As I said, Wanderers still undefeated and will look to cap off a fantastic season when they face Kudus in the final next week at the Hagigain Cup Stadium here in Windhoek. If you were tuned into our social media pages, that's Eagle FM Namibia and the Villager newspaper, you would have seen the images from the semi-final as I was there. And it was great to see the support from Kudus as they have always had throughout the season. They come out in thousands to support the team. Quite remarkable to see, honestly, considering that the team is from Walvis Bay. And yet, whenever they play in Windhoek, they always have great support behind them, and I don't doubt that next Saturday they will be there probably in even bigger numbers to cheer on their favorite team. Moving on to netball. We had some netball this weekend. The MTC Netball Namibia Premier League 2025 season kicked off with some fixtures this weekend. Round 1 and Round 2 took place. The matches take place at the Comasdal Stadium here in Windhoek. The defending champions, NCS, that's the Namibia Correctional Service, will look to defend their title, of course. And running through some results from round one on Saturday, we had the UNAM Jaguars and Mighty Gunners play. Mighty Gunners taking that 139-22. We had the Navy, the Namibia Navy Netball Club, beating the Ochozondupa Nampol Netball Club 58-29. We had Wanderers Netball Club, playing against the Extreme Eagles. The Eagles taking that one 36-32, and the Africat Lions played against UNAM Orongo. UNAM taking that one 36-30. NCS, as I said, defending champions. You know, reading the scoreline doesn't even seem real, but they beat Cougartops 70-15. I didn't even know you could score that much in netball. But yeah, Tigers also playing against the Eastern Chiefs, and Tigers took that one at 37-19. And let's take a listen, actually, to a player from the Navy who won the Man of the Match award in their fixture. I got to catch up with her. And here's what she had to say to us following her Man of the Match performance. That was none other than Miss Rebecca Kambu Kambulutwe, excuse me. Here's what she had to say to us following her Man of the Match performance.
Hey, congratulations on the win. Tell us how was the match?
It's a start for us. Luckily, we had club championship before last week, which was a good preparation for us for the league. So we are doing the best we can for the meantime. Otherwise, we'll keep our heads up from here, and then we see what we're gonna do for our way forward.
You got the Man of the Match today. Tell us what went into your performance today.
Oh, today I just did what my team expected me to do, basics normally. So I had my attacking team that had been carrying me throughout the course of the game, which was the reason why I got this Player of the Match.
And what can the Navy fans expect from you guys on the rest of the season?
Wins all the way in wins.
Yes, that was Rebecca from the Navy, Namibia Navy Netball Club. Letting the supporters know they can expect more wins, and more wins for the rest of the season. Don't forget you can chime in at any time at 083-288-401 to share your thoughts. Ask any questions. Or contribute to the program in any way, shape, or form. So that was the local sports news roundup. That's all we had this weekend. And now we will get in to the topic I wanted to talk about today, which is the research paper by Cora Burnett from the University of Johannesburg. Well, she's not going to be on today. But this will actually be the second participant, I can say, from the University of Johannesburg here on the Eagle Sports Zone. As you might recall, we had Roger Haitengi on here, athletics coach, Namibian athlete, well-decorated Namibian athlete in the triple jump. And so we'll analyze a paper from, I guess you could say, his colleague, Cora Burnett, who wrote this paper that I found interesting, mainly because it had to do with an African country. We don't really see too many research papers written in predominantly the African context. It's always, you know, international stuff. I myself am guilty of that, of course, as well, as a student, because, you know, that's where most of the information is about the international bodies and so on. But we have a paper here from Cora titled Sports for Development in the South African Context. And as we know, our southern neighbors are one of the leaders in the continent in terms of sports development, in terms of commercializing sport, in terms of having a genuine, serious economy around the sports industry. You know, them, the likes of Morocco, the likes of Tanzania we spoke about here before, you know, so it's not many would argue that they are one of our leaders when it comes to sports development, especially considering their population and all of that. But let's get into the nitty-gritty of the paper. And just a bit of background, this paper was published in 2010, so right before the World Cup, the FIFA World Cup that South Africa hosted. So, and at that time there was a lot of research going into sports as an economy and so on. And that's why I felt this paper was fitting, because it was written right before, you know, South Africa truly sort of blossomed when it comes to having sports be a serious contributor to the economy, sort of right before that, I like to call it inflection point of the World Cup. So, the backdrop of this paper, she mentioned, was that in 2005, the UN, the United Nations, adopted a resolution titled Sport as a Means to Promote Education, Health, Development, and Peace. So this adaptation of this resolution was sort of the, you can kind of say the genesis of, or it was the basis for using sports as a developmental tool as we see it today, as we see many countries attempting to do it today. And 2005 actually was declared as the year of sport and physical education by the UN as well. So 20 years ago, the UN saw the value of sports and what it can do for particularly developing nations. You know, the developed ones, as we know, had already, you know, gained a lot of traction when it comes to that. But 2005 was really when there was this major international push for this. So this is also when we saw a huge uptick in the investments of various initiatives by the likes of your UNICEFs, your IOCs, your FIFAs, even companies such as Nike. They put in hundreds of millions of dollars in these initiatives, particularly targeted for developing nations. And one interesting statement that the paper opens up with in its introduction is that sport for development is mostly directed towards the disenfranchised collectors within a population. So what that means is when we talk about sports for development, it's usually targeted towards your disenfranchised people. I was looking for a simple synonym there. But, you know, that includes your girls or women, the disabled, children, and just in general, those that are socioeconomically vulnerable. So these are the segments of the population that Sports for Development targets, to use sport as a tool to help these segments of the population in their development, help them improve their situation, right? And so the formation of strategic partnerships for the delivery of sports development and promoting the development agenda in developing countries can usually be traced to the inner workings of governments and NGOs. So in simple terms, that just means that when we talk about sports development, when we talk about really driving the agenda for the delivery of sports development, the agents we have to look towards are your NGOs and your governmental organizations, which are led by your various ministries, your sports commissions, and so on. The paper identified, Ms. Cora identified three development approaches, three specific development approaches. So one, you have your top-down government planning approach, which is the one we see, especially here in Namibia. We see that one for the most part. I would say over 90% that's the approach we see. This is just when the government or whichever organization is in charge of things essentially decides what must happen. So, for example, your SWAPO Party Manifesto Implementation Plan, all the things that are written in there, all the initiatives that are planned, that's an example of top-down planning approach. Sort of, if you can visualize the government or the people in charge in that particular sector of the government sort of dictate what must happen in the lower levels. But then you also have the second one that was identified in the paper is the inside-up development approach or bottom-up development approach. This one focuses on empowering communities to drive their own development processes rather than relying on the top-down approach, and it emphasizes self-determination, community ownership, and the recognition of the knowledge of the people and their cultural practices. So, in simpler terms, it means they're incorporating what the people on the ground are telling them that they need. So, when it comes to, let's put it in a local context, what the Nkuru community might need when it comes to sports development might not be the same as what the community in, let's say, a place like Aranos needs or a place like Ondangwa needs. So that's what is meant by the inside up approach or the bottom up approach, is really including the communities that you are looking to target when it comes to sports development. Which we, I think we've seen, now going back to a local level, we've seen recently, you know, with the Ministry of Sports engaging various leaders and so on in communities around the country. And when we saw the deputy minister traveling to various places, listening to the sports leaders in their communities, listening to what they need, what they desire, what the situation there on the ground is, rather than having a blanketed approach for development in all parts of the country. Because as I said, obviously what would work in Windhoek might not work in Kidmanshoop, simply because the needs of the people there are different. Thirdly, you have the outside-in approach. You have the outside-in approach. This one is when you bring in your big international bodies and you sort of you cater your methods to their methodology, but now with collaboration with your different local stakeholders. So for example, if we have, let's say UNICEF come in, they say they have a program for, let's say basketball development that they implement in various countries. What the receiving country will do is to sort of tailor their way of operations to fit the goals of that UNICEF program. But of course there's an element of collaboration involved. So this is mainly now when, like I said, the government will collaborate with organizations like UNICEF, your UNs, your GIZ, all of those sort of organizations. And one interesting, sort of following up onto that now outside approach of having these big foreign organizations come in, was that in the paper it was argued that the development work should be about the people and the development of leaders of said community. So this should be a local process whereby leadership will develop, in a sense, spontaneously. It develops spontaneously because you're giving them an enabling environment and not necessarily through programs that sort of promote that they're going to create leaders. So the development of leaders should be something that happens like organically, naturally, after you have given the people in that community the appropriate environment to thrive in whatever initiative it is that you are creating or implementing in a community. So rather than coming with a program where you say one of our outcomes or one of our goals is to create leaders, because, you know, if you come with a program like that, you can say that, and then at the end of the program, if you don't create leaders, you know, nothing really happens. So instead of coming with a program like that where you're sort of gesturing or posturing that, you know, we want to create leaders, so and so, each program should naturally create leaders. It should go without saying. You shouldn't have to state that our program here exists to create leaders. Any program that you bring when it comes with sports development should have an environment where leaders are naturally breeding from said environment. And so in 2008, the Department for Sport and Recreation in South Africa They developed this thing called the White Paper. Some of you might be familiar with it. And this was aimed at improving the social welfare in various South African communities. As we know, especially during that time, pre-World Cup, still now, obviously, but South Africa had many of the characteristics that we have here, you know, when it comes to issues with crime, when it comes to issues of inequality, when it comes to issues of lack of infrastructure, things like that. And so the goals of this white paper was increasing the level of participation in sport and recreational activities, raising sports profile in the face of conflicting priorities, maximizing the probability of success in major events, and then placing sport at the forefront of efforts to educate the public about issues such as HIV/AIDS and to reduce the level of crime. So as I said, a lot of this sounds familiar. These are things we've heard also in a local sense from our leaders when it comes to sports in particular, things that they want sports to do in the country, which is why I wanted to talk about this paper, because it's basically identical to what we are experiencing here. And don't forget, you can join the conversation anytime at 083-288-401. And on the other side of this musical break, as is customary on the show, from our, I'm going to call him our uncle now, since we always listen to him. On the other side of this tune from Jimmy Cliff, we will get into the main findings of the paper. We'll be back right after this. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm good, thank you. What would you like to contribute to the program today?
Yeah, I think you maybe generally on the sport development.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the approach that you have just mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I will have to just lumber my language there and then talk about, see whether I will make sense out of them.
Okay.
Yeah, especially the one that you said is a bottom-up approach.
Yeah.
Where the communities are involved.
Mm-hmm.
And they now bring in the initiatives. I mean, they identify their needs there.
Yeah.
And what is it that they want and what is affecting them.
Mm-hmm.
Their livelihood. And the opportunity that they see. But then maybe the opportunity might not be seen
yeah.
visibly enough But at least you, as they start from the bottom.
Yes.
Like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just a matter of civic engagement there that's necessary.
Yes.
To engage them and let them identify their needs. Obviously, you facilitate the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one seemed to be far-fetched.
You said far-fetched?
So what does it mean that it doesn't seem to be happening? I don't know, maybe the language there, the grammar. So what I'm saying is that those kind of mobilization of the community in terms of resources, because many a times you just say, those ones are a poor community.
Yes.
There's nothing good that can come out from that. You hear those kind of statements.
Mm-hmm.
But if they start from there, then like what you were saying the other time, in terms of community sport facilities.
Yes.
Then because the people themselves, even in those schools there, they know already that a school of this here, this locality, it doesn't have the sports.
Mm-hmm.
Or it doesn't have, those things and things like that. Remember your conversation of the Amatas and those other ones, eh?
Yes, yes.
And this is now, and this one doesn't start from up. Top. Bottom approach. That one is long gone, man. People don't use that method anymore. Obviously, what you can expect there is some kind of registration, some rules. And many a times, those structures are there through the schools, through sport physical education.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a teacher and you are whoever is there, and you are a school principal or whoever, any from the community.
Yes.
You can then organize and coordinate yourself and say, fine, here there's a school. There's no sports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a sports field. There's no sport field.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some bushes, some bush.
Yes.
So, sometimes you sacrifice the trees to go for that opportunity cost.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So now then you now say, hey, let's put a soccer field here. So, that money might not come from the school coffer, but maybe the students and things like that, when they want to, so they can volunteer within the community, with the community, and then create something there.
Yes.
And then now you now call Old Mutual. Or whoever, whom are you going to target now in terms of... those separate who are there in your shukuku.
Yeah.
And then they say, yes, here we are now, we want to make this thing. So I think that is the bottom-up approach of development.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it's more suitable for community development.
Definitely.
So then once you convince the community, you persuade them, even if they are to contribute $5, you think it's not enough money, that one?
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
And then now, so it requires us to facilitate those kind of development process.
Mm-hmm.
And now say, yes, the one that we work, the government is doing a lot and it's good because they are creating that environment already.
Yes.
So when they are those legal rules, they lose, and there are then those formalities and all these other things and within the community, those are the good things that we can use then to bring about that the change, that the positive change that we want there.
Mm-hmm.
So physical education, start with the physical education teachers.
Yeah.
And then you say, now we are teaching these things. So the student doesn't mean just to run around and then that's all and come. Where are the other sport courts?
Yes.
Where can you play? Do you have an environment around here?
Mm-hmm.
And then they liaise with the traditional leaders and all these structures are already created there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what is preventing you people to do that.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
Okay, so let me listen more. But let's use that bottom up approach.
Mm-hmm.
You can use both because you are now going. They say hierarchy. You are going to talk with have some dialogue with the politicians, with all those in higher authorities. So create that kind of dual relationship, kind of communication.
Yes, most definitely.
Good.
Thank you for coming through.
Thank you very much. Do you speak Oshwambo?
Yeah, I do.
Thank you very much, man.
Thank you, thank you.
God bless.
Yes, there was a listener there with some good points, in particular to the bottom-up approach that we referenced earlier, of the importance of community members coming up, speaking up about what they need. But of course, it also requires those in positions of leadership, position of power, to in a sense, come down and listen to what it is that is needed. But listening to the caller there, one thing that came to my mind as you were speaking, you said, for example, let's build a field in whatever community it is, and physical education and so on. My question always is, once these things are put in place, do we have the people to run them? You know, especially when it comes to physical education. Do we have the people that can conduct PE classes? And you know, things like PE classes, they don't require, you don't need a PhD in sports science or anything like that. You know, just basic training is needed. So, as I always mention, as we focus on the physical infrastructure, physical capital, we should also keep in mind the human capital that will be needed for these things. But let's let Mr. Cliff finish his message, and then we'll continue with the findings of the paper.
Tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Oh yeah. That was Mr. Jimmy Cliff with Samba Reggae. Our favorite tune here on the Eagle Sports Zone. But let's get back in to our discussion of today. If you're just tuning in, this is the Eagle Sports Zone, and today we're discussing a research paper coming from the University of Johannesburg, and it's about sports for development in the South African context. So the first sort of component it looks at is school sports mass participation, which, if you were tuned in before, as the caller mentioned, is a big component in sports development. There can be no sports development without school sports. It's why I always talk about the NSSU. It's why I always talk about PE in schools, because you can have as many academies as you want, as many fancy teams as you want. If there's no schools, not just school sports, mass school sports participation, there is no sports development. It's as simple as that, really. And I'm sure it's why Miss Burnett identified that as a first point in the case study. So the school sports mass participation program was introduced in all 9 provinces in South Africa in 2006. Now, when I was going to the paper and saw that, that to me sounds like the IPES that we have here that the ministry introduced some years ago, but I think is only being properly implemented this year. The integrated physical education for school sports, something like that, IPES, IPESS, right? And I preface that it was introduced some years ago and is probably being introduced now, and you'll see in a few moments why I say this. So in the paper, it was revealed that prior to the baseline study that was conducted in 2008, 76 field workers were trained in the collection of data according to pre-designed methods of the SDIAT, which is the Sports Development Impact Assessment Tool. This is a tool that was specifically developed to measure, quote-unquote, social impact at different levels, namely at the macro, meso, and micro level. Macro meaning, you know, the larger, meso, the middle sort of mix, and micro, tiny, the small level, in simple English. As manifested consequences of a particular program or intervention, according to a pre and post research design. So again, to put it in simple terms, what the South African government did is they developed this program, their version of IPES, and said, we're going to train people on how to collect the data needed to measure the impact of this thing that we're introducing. Which, if you've been tuned into the Eagle Sports Zone, you will have heard or noticed that this is something I talk about a lot. A lot of our initiatives, we don't really know if they succeed or not. Why? Because there's no data collection. We don't know if goals are being met, goals are not being met. We hardly know what the goals are of these initiatives. For example, when I saw this, Sports Development Impact Assessment Tool, that to me sounds like what we had, or what was introduced as the Sports Development Index. Some years ago, the government received, I forget the exact number of how many laptops, but it was millions of dollars worth of laptop and software for us to be able to use, or to implement the Sports Development Index, to develop it, to use it, and so on. And since this was announced, we don't know anything about this Sports Development Index. We don't know what our current figure is when it comes to the index, like what the baseline is that we're looking for, which number we're looking to reach. All we've heard so far is that we received a donation for the development of a Sports Development Index. And this is what I always say when it comes to our sports initiatives and so on, is when the announcement comes, there's so much excitement. There's so much, you know, eagerness. There's so much, you know, we're all applauding. Yeah, we're finally getting this. And then years later, it's crickets. We don't know anything. And that's the same with IPES. I would love to know, since its implementation, if it has even been implemented, really, what has been the impact of IPES? And then again, the Sports Development Index, where is it? Like, who's in charge of the Sports Development Index? What are the current numbers? What are the numbers we're looking to reach? What happened to all these laptops that were donated, all this software that was donated? You know? Where are the results? Here we can see our neighbor down south essentially had the same thing. And they were able to have, you know, a whole database of what, to measure the impact of their initiative. And they more importantly, they train people on how to use this tool, the specifically designed tool to measure the success or failure of their thing, of their initiative. So, and to sort of wrap up that point, if we are to succeed with everything that's been proposed to us when it comes to sports in Namibia, now talking about, these are the kind of tools that we will need to have in order to succeed and to measure the impact of our proposed initiatives. You know, there's nothing wrong with if we implement something and it doesn't completely work out. You know, for there could be various reasons why something doesn't work out. But at least when it doesn't work out, you have a whole database showing you why, or contributing to showing you why something didn't work out. And in fairness, you know, when we had Minister Steenkamp on here, she did say that, you know, various assessment measures are going to be taken when it comes to these initiatives. They're going to do various, they have accountability methods, I believe was the exact word she used when it comes to the initiative. So once again, time will tell. Let's hope it will be different to what has happened before. If they have something like the Sports Development Index, let's hope this time it will actually be, you know, implemented. Then the second point that was raised is something they called active community clubs in the paper. This section of the paper basically just outlined various community clubs that were developed in partnership with countries such as Switzerland and Australia, where they came up initiatives for activities like gardening, health programs, and various sports programs. This is now that third one where I said outside-in approach, where you bring in international help. It actually uses a combination of outside in and inside up approaches, which, if I'm to give my personal opinion, I think is the best one. And the key findings of these initiatives was the importance and impact of volunteers that run these programs. Because again, as I said, human capital is at the forefront of all of these things. An initiative can be super well thought out, well funded and everything, but if there's no one to run it, it's as good as nothing, really. But volunteers are vital, not only for the survival of these programs, because often what we see is these programs get developed, and maybe in year one they do well, and then it starts to teeter off, you know. They don't last as long as they're supposed to, or if they do last as long as supposed to, the impact is not as big as it was supposed to be, because of the lack of people that are there to conduct the program. But I was saying that the volunteers aren't only vital for the survival of the programs, but they are vital for the survival of the volunteers as well. And what the study shows, or what the paper inferred to, was that volunteering can be the beginning of a career path. And as a sports management student, I can attest to this 100%. Also, those that are studying sports management here in Namibia, as we've had on here before. Okay, for one, as a sports management student, you can't graduate without essentially volunteering. You might get paid for your volunteering or not, but you have to put in a certain amount of hours in anything sports related. So, you know, you can be a scorekeeper for a league. You can be the social media intern for a federation, you know, things like that. You have to do things like that to graduate. So not only is it needed to upskill yourself, but you're learning things you're learning in the classroom. You're now applying in real life. And in sports, if you want to have a career in sports, that's where you have to start. There's no, it's very rare that you get a job in sports without having that background of volunteering. And so as I said, I am a prime example of that. I have a long list of volunteer work that I've done during my time as a student. It helped me form connections, obviously helped improve my skills in various things, improve my knowledge, and it put me onto the path of where I can, or where I was able to carve out a career in what it is that I studied. So, volunteers are crucial to a program, but the act of volunteering is also crucial for those that are volunteering, is the main point of what she was saying in the paper in that context. And so an example of this, what it is we just spoke about, is the YDF, the Youth for Development Program, that was implemented in South Africa. This is an international program funded by the Deutsche Gesellschaft für Internationale Zusammenarbeit, in short, the GIZ. And this was created as sort of a legacy project after the 2006 World Cup and continued into the 2010 World Cup. 2006 being hosted in Germany, of course, 2010 in South Africa. And it was mainly aimed at increasing football participation. Not only that, but fostering the overall development of developmental infrastructure. So what that means is this program was teaching members of the recipient nations how to create sustainable and lasting developmental programs, which they successfully did, as I was saying. All of these people that were in these programs were, of course, volunteers. And some of the results from this program, they impacted over 60,000 South African children. They trained over 200 instructors who in turn implemented courses for over 1,500 they helped train, right? So let's start over. The program trained 200 instructors. Those instructors trained an additional 1,500 coaches from over 350 organizations, which ended up implementing the Youth for Development Program approach through the coaching of children and youth. So there you see a long chain of people that were impacted by this program, because they trained 200 people on how to train people, in short, right? And so almost 40% of the young people involved in this program, or that were reached by the YDF activities, displayed a significant decrease in antisocial behavior, something, you know, we talk about a lot in the Namibian context, an issue we have a lot with our youth. 73% of the participants, this was after a survey, agreed that the life skills that they learned were transferable to everyday life experiences. And so this made me think about again, if you haven't, listen to the Eagle Sports Zone episode that when we had Namibia's very own Jackie Hertz on here from the NFA, when she was talking about when they had the Girls and Girls program, the one that was funded by, I believe it was the UN, either the UN or UNICEF, one of the two, right? We spoke at length about the success of this program, about the impact of this program. I believe it was a 3 or 4 year period when UNICEF was funding this. And so during that period, of course, impact was great and everything, but what truly is the lasting impact of that? I can't remember exactly when this ended, but it's been some time now. Because when she was on, she mentioned that after that, it sort of died. The momentum that they lost, that they gained, excuse me, was essentially lost once the UNICEF funding disappeared. And as we know, women's football all over the country, in the various regions, apart from now what we see with the Super League and so on, apart from that, the developmental side is close to non-existent. So again, it's key when we bring in such programs, when we develop such programs, when we implement such programs, that we think about how can their impact be sustained once the funding from that international body is gone, because obviously it doesn't last forever. Thought we had a caller there. If you'd like to call back in, 0832 888 401. That's 0832 888 401 if you'd like to join into the conversation. Before that, we were talking about the Girls and Goals project, which when it was here was great for the communities. But once that UNICEF funding left, it wasn't sustained. Eagle FM, good evening.
Oh, sorry, man, for coming late.
Yes.
I won't take long.
Mm-hmm.
So now, thank you for mentioning that concept of volunteerism.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not so sure, even when I think about, I'm not so sure whether there was something that was started that it did not require some kind of energy in terms of volunteerism, volunteering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the things that we are seeing, you know, most of the, you see some of these establishments.
Yes.
Be it SWAPO manifestation that you are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And many other policies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually came into existence because of people who sacrificially from there themselves. So like you said, for example now,
yes.
And you don't talk of anything, because if you want to create employment for yourself,
yes,
or to be employed, you begin there.
Mm-hmm.
The Nuyomas and others and Mareros and all the rest, they started like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to lay down, you must at least go through some kind of inconvenience.
Yes.
To volunteer, because volunteering now including the only problem is that, you know these American cops?
The what, sorry?
This the American, they are called, I think, American Cops or something.
Yeah.
That group of volunteers. And you can see that those are the people who are graduates.
Yes.
the graduate, because they go into the community, they volunteer, they go into in time past.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult for us to get a teacher, a mathematics teacher or a physics teacher, you know, to go down to the Congo area, despite the fact that Bush Arawas is there.
Yes.
But you could see people who are coming from outside, for example, volunteer themselves to go into the village.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they start with those kind of projects, those non-governmental organizations, those community-based organizations, and all those initiatives that you see, La Caucus and many, many, many others.
Yes.
So they were started by the people who volunteered themselves. Of course, in our own days, you can always be compensated. There's no way you cannot be compensated. If you go to municipality and say, you organize yourself and say, yeah, we are, and this place is very dirty, it's not hygienic, and it's costing this and that and that and that.
Yeah.
Just like the way you are telling us about the research findings there.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you say, yes, we need this bed, we need this other one. And then you give us a trolley. I mean, some trolleys or whatever. Is it a truck?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that they use to put their rubbish? And then you have volunteer yourself. Who is not going to compensate you? Even the community, the work itself that you are doing, it is the one that is going to be converted, your energy will be converted into monetary terms, values that you get, man. So please, hammer more on that volunteerism. Mm-hmm. What does it take? Does it take some sacrifice? Does it take really money? Does it take what? And then just for us to understand. And then I think the sport administration officers, then they should start now going mobilize the people to volunteer themselves.
Yeah.
And of course, in the process, they will be compensated.
Can I ask, you are calling us from where?
I'm calling from the jungle.
Which part of the jungle?
Oh, in the mountains, my friend.
No, I wanted to...
Do you know the Kunene Mountain?
Mm.
And those who are there, I mean, some of them, they call this, there are also some mountains close to, they say, Omatako Mountains or something like that.
So you're calling...
Yeah, but I'm on the other side of the mountain, the other area.
Okay, so yes. Are you able to share with the listeners what kind of sports are happening in your community?
Yeah, so there are a lot of sports happening. The desire, the aspiration is there, but majorly you see sports, I mean soccer only.
Okay.
But what about netball?
Hmm.
So in some areas where you find a sports, a soccer field, there's no netball.
Mm-hmm.
And we are even told, I think I heard it from you, I don't know whether it's from Amata or somebody else who came the same day there, that now they have made it a point. And I was asking people there when they, somewhere in the Sakati there, they were having some tournament.
Yeah.
And the girls were there. So the girls were, I think, in Ruakana.
Mm-hmm.
And then the female, I don't just say girls, the female football was going on there. And then so all these kind of things, every soccer club, whatever, the team, even if in those ones in the village.
Mm-hmm.
So they must make sure that there are also female or girls team there that's going on there.
Yes.
So that means now you have two. You might also have two sports soccer fields. What about tennis?
Yeah.
There was somebody who was talking about tennis here, and I talk about this. My brother was my classmate, the one who is also on tennis. This one, Angura. What's his name again? Yeah, one of the leader there.
Okay.
So now all those sports courts, all those facilities, it's so difficult to begin, as we talk about this bottom-up approach development, if you ask the community and the school there, when they tell you that maybe this one is also needed, all those things, there are a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
So don't even talk about balls. I've never heard about maybe the NFN or whoever those bodies, authorized bodies, to go around and distribute soccer balls to the village there. It's a lot of tournaments. So now that it's stabilizing because people are now busy calculating and things like that, but that things are still going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So if they finish and then they go to cooker shop, then what? So there are so many. So let them go and distribute soccer balls there, netball, even nets, whatever, anything that they can think. If you engage with them there, they will tell you what they need.
Yeah, the bottom-up approach.
The bottom-up approach. Thank you very much for bringing that, man.
Thank you for calling.
I think, unfortunately, I know people could be calling and things like that, maybe just because of the telephone and things like that. But we need to fish them out from there, man.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
Yes, that was the listener there giving his opinion on what it is we're talking about today. If you'd like to join in, you are welcome to do so at 083-288-401. And that's 083-288-8401. That is our line here in Windhoek. And we can talk about sports for development in the South African context. And before the caller, we're talking about the Girls and Goals project and how it relates to the YDF initiative that was implemented in South Africa and had lasting effects, lasting impacts that the country is obviously still benefiting from today. And actually, also now brings me to, thanks to the caller, they reminded me when we had Issa Kamata on here from the NFA talking about the talent development scheme that's to be brought in, that's to be implemented this year. He mentioned that their plan has been approved by FIFA. It's a FIFA-funded program. And essentially the goal for that is to basically address what I was just saying now with where the Girls and Goals program left off, to improve the development of women's football in all the corners of the country, which is something obviously we need. But that's an example of outside-in approach in conjunction with the bottom-up approach. You know, you have a local stakeholder, NFA, working together with international body, in this case FIFA, to achieve a common goal. And so, to conclude with the paper, the conclusion in the paper was essentially to make a long story short, is the need for collaboration at all levels, whether that's from the top all the way to the bottom. Whatever approach it is that you choose, it still requires collaboration for it to succeed, which I think not many people would argue is something we've struggled with here in Namibia when it comes to sports development. You know, there've always been fractions of let's call it groups of people who have differing ideas, sometimes within the same organization, you know, people not on the same page. And so if we are to succeed with everything that we have planned, it requires buy-in, it requires teamwork from all levels of the ecosystem for it to function well, for the initiatives to be put in place. It helps no one, particularly those affected, when you have different opinions or different methods coming from the same entity. And again, this is where the human capital element is very important. Because if you put people in place for whatever organization it is, whether it's a federation, whether it's a local authority, whether it's a school, whether it's a school body, any entity you can think of in the sports ecosystem, if that individual is unable to follow your well thought out plan, well researched, well funded plan, the plan is next to, I don't want to use a harsh word, but next to not useful. And that's the same really with anything in life. And that, something I haven't said on here for a long, long, long time, is our favorite quote of the Eagle Sports Zone. Our mantra, our slogan here on the Eagle Sports Zone, that sport is a reflection of the society in which it functions. You can chime in at 0832888401. That's 0832888401. And one bit of local news that I didn't mention at the top of the show, local sports news, is we have, now officially we have, a professional MMA fighter in Namibia. Mixed martial arts fighter in Namibia. And that is none other than a gentleman by the name of Verhinder, who is also a law graduate, by the way, has officially turned professional after signing a deal with the Extreme Fighting Championship, EFC. So, I would actually need to do further research on this, but if I'm not mistaken, he might be our first ever fully professional MMA fighter. I speak under correction on that one, but if there's any, I'm yet to encounter them. But Avea is an accomplished fighter. He's been fighting for some years now. I want to say he's almost a decade into the sport. But in March he won the versus featherweight title. And he's also an IMMAF African champion. And his first fight as a professional is scheduled to happen in August. But more will be revealed on that front. But to conclude on our paper, on our discussion on the research paper from the University of Johannesburg, now be sure to look out for more such interesting papers that we can learn from, that we can analyze from our African brothers and sisters. When it comes to sports development, something we need more of. Actually, I'm going to inquire at the Namibian University of Science and Technology, seeing that that's the only university with a sports management department. But I'm going to ask if there's any research papers there available that we could look into. I know the program is new, so there might not be a huge database to choose from of research papers, but I'm sure there has to be at least one that we could look at there. But it's something that we definitely need, not only in Namibia, but in the continent as a whole. You know, concrete evidence, concrete insights, backed by research, backed by data on our sports. You know, we do a lot of comparisons with the first world nations and what they've done, which of course is necessary, because, you know, to be the best, you have to learn from the best. But it's also good to get some on-the-ground insight, some on-the-ground research, from what is happening in our borders on the continent. Do remember, tomorrow is Monday, and that means the Villager E-Paper will be published Once again, if you haven't subscribed already, simply send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Make sure to save the number as a contact to become a subscriber so that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday it is sent directly to your mobile device. And on the other side of this, we will round up our conversation here on the Eagle Sport Zone. Our conversation on sports for development in the South African context. We'll see you on the other side of tunes from our favorite uncle, Mr. Jimmy Cliff. Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And I can't believe I forgot this, actually. But we had the UEFA Champions League final last evening. There was, of course, Paris Saint-Germain, PSG, facing off against Inter Milan. PSG winning that one 5-0. I'm not sure many people would have predicted that one. I mean, I predicted a PSG win, but not 5-0. So their first Champions League title, excuse me, after many years and many hundreds and hundreds of millions, if not billions of euros spent since the Qatari ownership came through there. It was, pretty interesting that, you know, after all the excessive spending that they did, it was more of an organic approach. Of course, they spent some money as well, but more of an organic approach that finally got them what it is that they were looking for, which was, of course, that elusive Champions League title. So yeah, there's a case study in itself that not always, can't always throw money at things for, to succeed in the sporting context. But congratulations to them. And to anyone that guessed the JSB match of the week correctly, if you guessed that one correct, you have a talent. The number in the studio is 0832-888-401. 0832-888-401. If you'd like to contribute to the program. Speaking of the Villager, I can reveal some of the stories that you will see in the paper tomorrow. That includes the first one being about resettled farmers being able to access loans through Agribank, and a piece on Namibia's need to work on its startup ecosystem. A piece on the agro-processing sector and the state-run projects in that sector. And last but not least, a piece on the conversation regarding an oil refinery, whether that includes Angola or Botswana. So if you'd like to catch, if you'd like to read those stories, once again, simply send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. I was just seeing if I could get in touch. With one of our correspondents. But maybe we'll save that for next week.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm playing.
Eagle FM, good evening. Maybe dial the wrong number there. But the line in the studio is 0832-888-401. 0832-888-401. If you aren't just joining us, this is the Eagle Sports Zone. We were talking about sports. A research paper on sports development in none other than the, what do they call themselves? The Rainbow Nation. Our brothers and sisters down south in South Africa. Went through some interesting points. Points we as a country can learn from, especially in this new age, new era of sport that we are looking to go into.
Tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel
anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. We have about 15 minutes left in the program. If you are just tuning in, today's conversation was about sports development in South Africa, some of the pillars that have gone in, that have gone into putting South Africa where it is today when it comes to sports development, and some of the approaches that were taken when it comes to sports development in that nation. And just briefly going through those approaches, we had the top-down approach, we had the bottom-up approach, and the outside-in approach. Top-down being that one of the, where those in charge, our leaders, our various entities, sort of where they implement what they feel is necessary. Let's say it like that. And then the bottom-up approach, where those who are targeted or those who are to be impacted by various initiatives, they speak on what it is that they need, what they require, what they seek when it comes to sports development. And then the outside-in approach is when you incorporate a foreign entity. We incorporate their methods, their objectives, their ideologies, and incorporate them into the local context. So yes, if you'd like to chime in as we round off here on the Eagle Sports Zone, the number in the studio is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. You are tuned into your favorite sports program, the Eagle Sports Zone. And speaking of the Eagle Sports Zone, next week we will have a special guest in the studio. Have them live in the studio. I won't reveal who it is yet. But don't forget to always tune in to the Eagle Sports Zone every Sunday evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. If you missed last week's conversation that involved the CEO of Cricket Namibia, Johan Müller, you could always go to the podcast section on the Eagle FM website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. Simply type in the Eagle Sports Zone. And all our past episodes dating back to the start of the program last year will be there at your disposal, excuse me. And you'll be able to find the conversation we had with Johan Müller, which was centered around another sort of hot topic in Namibian sports, is the commercialization of sports. Speaking of cricket, Namibia, actually, before I continue on that, the South African cricket team, the world famous Proteas, will be coming to Namibia in, I believe the exact date is October 11th. speaking under correction there, but they will be coming in October to officially open the facility, the new facility that Cricket Namibia has built. So exciting times in the cricket world. But as I was saying, we'll have a special guest in the studio next Sunday. I think you guys will enjoy that, the who we have lined up on the Eagle Sports Zone for that. Something we've never spoken about on the Eagle Sports Zone in depth, the guest that's coming in for that program. So we will all be learning in real time, including myself, because this person is from a sport that, I mean, I know a decent amount about, but when it comes to the inner workings, especially in a Namibian context, we are yet to hear much about this. So stay tuned in. We'll continue bringing you exciting guests on the Eagle Sports Zone, whether that's various leaders, whether that's various athletes, administrators, participants in the Namibian sports sector. They will all stop through the Eagle Sports Zone at one point or another. I can guarantee you that. Don't forget to always stay tuned into our social media pages to stay up to date on the latest sports, local and international. Get some good content there, whether that's photos, interviews, videos, or just news in general about our lovely Namibian sports. Make sure to follow Eagle FM. Eagle FM Namibia, that's on Facebook. Eagle FM Namibia, that's on X. Eagle FM Namibia, that's on Instagram. Eagle FM Namibia, that is on LinkedIn as well. The same goes for the Villager newspaper, available to you on Facebook, on X, on Instagram. We also have a WhatsApp channel if you are not tuned into that one, to get by the minute updates of anything that we have to share with you. The link for that is on the Eagle FM Namibia Facebook page as well. And this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Our major sports, I should say, are rounding off. The Namibia Rugby Union final will be next weekend. The final game of the Debmarine Namibia Premiership season will be next weekend. Of course, as I said, we've already crowned the champion. And with those coming to an end, the netball season just started, so that will be our main major sport, really, that will be on during these next few months. And of course, the COSAFA Championship is starting on Wednesday. Of course, Namibia is in that one. We're in a group with our favorite foes, that is Angola. So, of course, we will be cheering on Colin Benjamin and the boys as they go to South Africa to try and capture the COSAFA title, which, should we do that, will give us some great momentum going into the all-important World Cup qualifiers that we have coming up beginning in October. 4 games left, essentially all must win if we are to achieve the dream of going to the FIFA World Cup. As we announced last week, an initiative has been put in place to help the squad qualify, to raise essentially $10 million to give the team what is necessary. So let's see in the coming months if history can be made on that front. Of course, we all want to see the Brave Warriors in the World Cup, the newly expanded World Cup, by the way, which increased from 32 teams to 48 teams. So we have a chance. We have a chance. But I will see you all again next week, Sunday, same time, same place here on the Eagle Sports Zone. wishing you all a productive week ahead. And we will be back next Sunday, as I said, with a special guest in the studio. Same time, same place. This has been the Eagle Sports Zone.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Talk to me, sister, so you can see, sister. they to judge us simply cause our hair is long? Oh, you know that we've got to bring some understanding here today. Oh, 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 pick it black and pick it sound. Talk to me, you can see.